take the scenic drive to the Guitar Oasis Cool in Jefferson County. Jeff's Guitar Clinic, jeffsguitar.com.
Welcome to another podcast at slysoffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers. Joining me now, from Citizen Action, Wisconsin, Robert Craig. I know we just had you on, Robert, but with everything going on, I thought it was important to get out in front of what the Republicans are up to with health care. Thanks for coming on to the show.
Happy to talk to your audience, because there's a lot of important stuff going on, Sly.
All right, let me play. This is how this was covered last night on NBC Nightly News.
Tonight, it's clear certain elements of Obamacare are here to stay. People with pre-existing conditions will still be able to buy insurance. Children 26 and under can stay on their parents' insurance. And there will be no lifetime maximum on insurance benefits. But for anyone who pays for Obamacare coverage, many more questions. In Knoxville, musician Gray Comer is scraping by on less than $30,000 a year. Born with a painful, debilitating skin condition, he now receives roughly $4,200 a year in subsidies to pay for insurance. Under the Republican plan, he'd get $3,000 in tax credits to buy insurance, but he only pays $1,000 in federal taxes. The government would give him a check for the balance.
I don't really see a tax credit as being enough to offset the cost of buying insurance on the private market.
Under the Republican plan, anyone 30 and under would get a $2,000 tax credit. 60 and older Americans would get a $4,000 credit. There's no requirement to buy insurance, but to encourage people, the plan would impose a 30% penalty on anyone who lets their coverage lapse. That means a family with $10,000 premiums could pay another $3,000 penalty.
The losers in this are lower income people who really need financial assistance to be able to buy coverage that's affordable for them.
Another controversy? Republicans want to freeze Medicaid enrollment for low-income Americans in 2020. Freeze it. Then give states money to pay for the coverage. But many analysts say it won't be enough.
This is the American Health Care Act.
Tonight, Republican leaders are defending their plan from fiscal conservatives who complain it's too generous, and Democrats who say average Americans will pay the price.
Trump care means higher costs for less health care. Plain and simple.
It's a complicated process, but actually it's very simple. It's called good health care.
Vice President Pence said today Republicans are open to negotiating changes to the plan, but there is big opposition in Republican circles, not to mention among Democrats, and still no estimate on what this plan will cost, Lester. And right now, this plan appears to be in trouble, even among Republicans.
All right. Does that say it all, or is it even worse?
It's probably even worse, but that was very good. I can see why President Trump doesn't want to have a fourth estate, i.e. the media, because, you know, facts are stubborn things. But it's even worse as far as the level of bait and switch and the fact that it looks like this goes way too far for a whole lot of Republicans. And so the Freedom Caucus is in rebellion and being called dead on arrival. And it's much worse than the Affordable Care Act, despite all the promises that they were going to provide something better and they were going to lower costs for people. They're doing the opposite, doing huge tax cuts for the wealthy. But we can dig in point by point, Fly, however you want to do it.
Well, explain, because I'm not sure a lot of people know exactly how Medicaid was tied into the Affordable Care Act. And what's the type of person that gets help through Medicaid through the Affordable Care Act? Give me a profile of someone.
Yeah, let me kind of stage this out. We created Medicaid in the 1960s when we created Medicare, when
right.
It was clear that seniors were not going to be covered by private insurance and had pre-existing conditions because they were older. So we created Medicare, and low-income people who don't have jobs or have service sector jobs without benefits certainly couldn't afford coverage. And then both were expanded over the years. And this is both in the, and then we got the Affordable Care Act, which tried to again make advances. A lot of other people left out, people with pre-existing conditions, basically anyone who doesn't have good insurance at work. There were two fundamental ways it happened, big ways. One was to expand Medicaid so that it wasn't just aimed at certain categories of people and different from states and by state, and said that everyone under 138% of the federal poverty level would be Medicaid eligible. Supreme Court blew a hole in that, so 31 states decided to do it, and 19, including Wisconsin, didn't. But Wisconsin did a lot of it with our own money, And then the other was the Affordable Care Act marketplace, where people at the next levels of income could get premium subsidies to afford coverage. The coverage is regulated. They had to insure it, had to provide it to everyone, regardless of pre-existing condition, and where it was pegged to income and the cost of insurance in your area. So those are two critical points here. Now, this bill takes out the Medicaid expansion, so that's going to have a huge impact in the other 31 states starting in 2020, but it also undercuts Medicaid itself. It's going to create a per capita cap, which will go up much more slowly than medical inflation, so it's actually a complicated mechanism, which is really simple in the end. It's designed for the federal government to pull hundreds of billions of dollars out of Medicaid and dump the problem on the states, and the result would be there, and that's Badger Care in Wisconsin, for example, and long-term care for seniors and people with disabilities, that the state either has to have huge tax increases in the hundreds of millions of dollars area to cover, or they cut people off coverage. And then the other piece is the Affordable Care Act tax subsidies. The Ryan plan calls for a different kind of tax subsidy, which is flat based on age and lower. And the problem there is that for most low-income people, they're going to pay a lot more. It's not pegged to the cost of health insurance in their area, and Wisconsin's one of the highest-cost states, so it's really bad for Wisconsin, even though the House Speaker is from Wisconsin. And it allows insurance companies to charge five times more based on age. So it's going to make this very unaffordable for people who are in the 10 years between when they're 55 and when they're Medicare eligible. But the bottom line is, we don't have a Congressional Budget Office scoring. We don't know what, we know this is going to cost a lot of money because they're getting rid of all the revenue in order to give huge tax breaks to the wealthy. We don't know right now how many people are projected to lose coverage, but it will be millions and millions of people, Sly. So their idea that it would be more affordable, that everyone would have access to coverage, it's the opposite, and it still may go too far for the hardliners in the Freedom Caucus and libertarians like Rand Paul. So it may not even go through the Republican caucuses of the House and Senate.
Here is Paul Ryan.
By some estimates, 10 million people could lose their coverage. Is that acceptable to you?
Look, what matters is that we're lowering the cost of health care and giving people access to affordable health care plans.
But America...
How does he say that with a straight face? By the way, I was in Janesville last Sunday morning, and I saw him at Mass. And you know, I didn't hear the priest mention anything about taking health care away from poor people.
It would be nice if they would just avow what their position is that they don't think that the federal government should be guaranteeing that everyone has somewhere to get health care and to make it affordable. It's so expensive, it's unaffordable. Particularly in an economy where we are producing mostly service sector jobs, right, and where wage rate in Wisconsin, the income level has gone down 14.8% since 2000, adjusted for inflation. So people have less relative money, right? And then they can't do this. I mean, if they're taking money away, there's already pressure that the Affordable Care Act isn't generous enough. And they capitalized on them in the election. They went after high deductibles. They want more of those because they doubled down on health savings accounts connected to high deductible health plans. So it's an incredible bait and switch. And the only thing that's really clear here is that they're going to give huge tax breaks to the wealthiest Americans. And that's their priority. It'd be nice if they admitted that was their priority. But instead, we get this flim-flam where Speaker Ryan promised in December that no one would be worse off. Now he says he's providing affordable care for everyone when he's not. But what's hilarious is that they can't even get a consensus, it appears, in their own caucus. It really looks like this plan has to get worse in order to get to the House of Representatives, not better, and it's already clearly worse than the Affordable Care Act.
And yet, Senators Murkowski of Alaska, Senator Shelley Moore Capito of West Virginia, Senator Portman of Ohio, and there's one other, have said that they don't like these cuts to Medicaid.
Right, and these are expansion states. A lot of Republican states expanded, and Jen Kasich in Ohio has come out against it because he expanded Medicaid. And what this does is, after 2020, no one new can enroll for the Medicaid expansion. The economy is not being changed dramatically. In fact, the other things Republicans want to do will make the economy an opportunity worse, right? They don't have a policy to raise wages. And people simply cannot afford this level of health insurance premium unless the federal government, through our democracy, in other words, creates a structure that allows it to happen. What we really need to be doing is improving the Affordable Care Act, that's really clear. They're doing the opposite. The problem they have is not only the far right that they've empowered, the Tea Party Rebellion, that actually believes that Americans want to pull the rug out from everyone, so they won't even do a weaker version of the Affordable Care Act. They're calling it Obamacare Lite, right? So they want to go even further. That's the big problem. They don't want to spend money on this at all, right? But they promised a progressive value. They promised that they ran on affordability of health care, and they promised they would make it better. And they're doing the opposite. So they're depending upon our democracy being so degraded that people won't notice. Also, on the Medicaid changes, Sly, the way they're going to do it, it'll impact states in a few years down the road. So they're going to put it on governors and state legislators. So I just was telling another media outlet that Governor Walker and company ought to be pretty darn careful, because they're the ones going to be left holding the bag on huge cuts to Badger Care if this goes through. And they're the ones who are going to get blamed for it in a couple years when they have to execute the cuts.
Here's Donald Trump a couple weeks ago.
Told the Washington Post that your plan to replace Obamacare will include insurance for everybody. That sounds an awful lot like universal coverage.
It's going to be what my plan is that I want to take care of everybody. I'm not going to leave the lower 20% that can't afford insurance.
But by
is there any way to parse that to be cohesive with what was introduced yesterday? Because the president's put his name on this.
I think they're still counting on the fact that they can just make it up as they go along, and they can do one thing, say another. If they can, there's very little democracy left, right, Sly? The problem they've had is, first of all, the true believers they have in Congress that won't even go along with this, but then the problem they have is this Democratic outpouring that's taken place, this demand for Ron Johnson to have town halls. There are going to be protests coming up in large scale focused on Paul Ryan.
Hey, cease and desist talking about Ron Johnson, okay?
Yes, well, he only, as you know, but with PolitiFact, he only said that to one constituent, though some people feel like that expresses the attitude of Senator Johnson's office to all his constituents by refusing to have any town halls around the state during a time like this, when he's thinking of making changes that are this consequential. But quite frankly, I think the Democratic upsurge has made this much harder, because it's putting a very bright light on it. And as long as the media is paying attention, as long as the public is paying attention, it's going to be very hard for them to do this. And it is amazing, Sly, that they want to do this without any scoring at the cost. Since they're getting rid of the revenue for the Affordable Care Act, it's hard to understand how they're funding their own tax credits now that they're giving giant tax cuts to the wealthy, to the insurance industry, to the pharmaceutical corporations, etc. It's hard, but they also, the CBO, Treasury Budget Office, is going to come up with a score that says something like this cuts, 5 million, 10 million, 15 million people off health care, not just now, but a lot more people in the future. That's what my guess is it will be. But they wanted to, it looks like they may even take votes without even knowing the cost or the consequences of the plan. It tells you how ideological and political this all is.
Yesterday, it appears as though Chuck Todd sort of bought the hype that Republicans really weren't taking a bite out of the Affordable Care Act. But listen to his guest, Hugh Hewitt, a conservative talk show host.
Oh, my goodness.
Listen to the way he talks about Medicare.
This is why I understand why Mo Brooks and Mike Lee are sitting there and Rand Paul are going, we've been saying this is the worst, not saying we disagreed with how they did it on the margins. This is the worst plan ever created in the history of mankind. Stop.
I believe that the bill that was put forward is a major retooling of the healthcare delivery system in the United States, in that it devolves Medicaid to the states and would allow for a genuine capping of the out-of-control entitlement. That's the center of this reform, as is getting rid of the appeals, the taxes, and the mandate. Therefore, I think getting it to the Senate allows step two to come forward. I don't agree that it's Obamacare Lite. I think it's a significant evolution away from it back towards markets, but it is mostly the Medicaid devolution. That's the heart of it that Republicans have to focus on.
See, what he thinks is reform is something he calls devolution of Medicare. Is that Orwellian or what?
Well, here's the thing, right? They want to claim we're going to take hundreds of billions out of Medicaid, and Medicaid works by, like in Wisconsin, for all the Medicaid programs, long-term care for seniors and people with disabilities, and for Badger Care, which covers children and low-income families, the federal government pays 60%, the state pays 40%. If you put on a per capita cap and then raise it only at the cost at the cost of inflation rather than medical inflation, which is higher, it's simply a mechanism to pull money out. And so the states are left with either raising hundreds of millions of dollars in additional tax revenue, which they're unlikely to do. You see how Governor Walker can't even do it to build more roads he wants to build, right? Or cut people off. And so they're claiming,
he's wearing that as a badge of honor.
Yeah, he's saying, oh, the states will be creative and all sorts of flexibility, which is just lipstick on the pig. Could they just admit that they think a lot of people should go without health care? Because health insurance and health care in this country is so expensive that low and moderate income people who don't have it at work and middle income people who don't have it at work can't afford it. It's that simple. It's too expensive. And if you go without health care, then you not only face medical bankruptcy, but you face not being able to get life-saving care when you most need it, and you end up losing your brother or your mother or your uncle unnecessarily. And they're not kept well. They avoid medical care, and therefore they only enter really sick, which costs a lot more money as well.
And takes money out of it.
But they don't. Here's the problem. Modern conservatism cannot cope with the realities of the 21st century. It's an ideology that can't do it, and so the only way they can do it is try to provide propaganda, like you heard from Hugh Hewitt, which doesn't admit what they really are about.
A guy named Don Berwick. I don't know if you know who this is.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I've seen him speak. He's like a mate. He's done a lot on healthcare costs and the healthcare system and has an academic background. Yeah, he's a very well-respected expert.
Here's what he said last night.
So, Don, if you look at the promises, it was one of the big ones was lower costs. You are going to pay less for healthcare. Is this going to deliver on that?
No, absolutely not. The proposal destabilizes insurance markets. It will. You'll see that premiums will go up, partly because under the proposals here, people aren't going to have enough money to buy insurance. And the only ones that will are going to be the sicker people, because they have to, leaving the people who are well are outside the system. That unravels insurance premiums will soar, and costs will soar because the safety net will get weakened over the trajectory of this proposal. Medicaid gets severely weakened. A lot of very vulnerable people are going to be back in emergency rooms and getting sicker instead of getting the care they need.
For information here.
So, you agree with what he said there?
That was very well said, and so you've heard Paul Ryan, Donald Trump, every Republican spokesman in Congress, Mitch McConnell, saying that Obamacare is in some sort of death spiral because their insurance companies leaving markets. Of course, we've learned that Aetna left markets in order to try to blackmail the federal government and allowing them to merge with Humana. Remember that. So it wasn't all because they were losing money. What Dean Berwick just pointed out is, if you make health insurance less affordable, which is what their system does, the tax credits are less valuable to people, then the only people that sign up are the people who absolutely have to sign up, the people who like have to scrape every dime and nickel together because they are sick, right? And what that does is that makes it much more expensive, and that chases insurance companies out of the individual market. So it destabilizes the whole market. And then on top of that, by cutting Medicaid, you force a whole lot of other people who either go to the emergency rooms without getting any care, or themselves scrape money together for bad insurance because they're sick and therefore cause this death spiral. So it does everything that they complained about the Affordable Care Act, but a lot worse. I mean, it's quite stunning from a policy standpoint. It's because they don't really care about providing health care for people. They care about spinning themselves out of the huge problem they created by lying about the Affordable Care Act in the first place and instigating their Tea Party base into believing that somehow all of the problems in the world were caused by what was quite a moderate step forward to make sure that affordable health care was available to a lot more people in the United States.
Well, I was going to say, here's a little montage of what they were saying about the Affordable Care Act over the last few years.
Obamacare is nothing more than the largest tax increase in the history of the world.
Many Democrats had recently come out against Obamacare, saying specifically they understood now about the death panels and other things.
Obamacare is really, I think, the worst thing that has happened in this nation since slavery. And it is, in a way, it is slavery.
Obamacare is the single biggest job killer in this country.
Everything about Obamacare was a lie. It was a filthy lie.
So there you go. And, of course, you know when Donald Trump says filthy lie, he knows filthy lies.
I guess you're right. That's a good point, Fly. So here's the thing. they believe all these things, which they don't. And that's kind of the problem right now, that conservatives are in a say-anything mode just to hold power. Then why'd they run on making health care more affordable for everyone and making sure everyone had access, and then why'd they turn around to a plan that makes things much worse? And it tells you that that's the level of respect they have for the American people. They are literally hoping that the public won't notice. And their democracy is so degraded, you can say one thing, do another. So for power political reasons, they were going to say anything about the Affordable Care Act that scared people because they want to deny Obama any kind of victory, and because they want to deny creating a precedent that our democracy has to do things like that. And that's the key. The only people who care about making health care affordable and accessible and guaranteed for everyone in America is us, we the people. Insurance companies want to turn profit fueled by Wall Street, so they want to only insure healthy people. Prescription drug companies want to take our money to research drugs and then price gouge for them. They don't care whether it's affordable for people. They care about profit margins. They're also underwritten by Wall Street. Same with medical device manufacturers. And so the only people that care that are us, and modern conservatives don't want to take responsibility for this. They claim that we can't afford it. You heard the stuff about an entitlement out of control. No problem with dramatically increasing Pentagon spending by 20% when we continue to fund all sorts of legacy weapon systems that literally are for the Cold War and are irrelevant in the modern world, and we still spend three times more than any other country in the world on defense. And we want to give, they said it was the largest, one of those montage item slides said it was the largest tax increase in American history.
Rush Limbaugh. Uh-huh.
Well, that means it's the largest tax cut in American history. What they're doing is a tax cut for the wealthiest Americans who are already getting most of the benefit of all economic growth and of the stock market bubble that we're currently experiencing.
Well, you know, I will also say some of the wealthiest people in the country today, along with our capitalist system that has spread money to politicians, kind of built an economy where we have a lot of jobs where people aren't covered with health care, right? They built that. Didn't happen through osmosis. That happened by design.
You make a really important point. That is, Republicans kind of act like everything is natural, that the market decided something, right? The market didn't decide that Uber was going to avoid, for example, all the basic wage and hour laws by calling these employees contractors, right? They decide to do that for short-term profit, but then they want to turn around and make sure that those drivers still have no access to affordable health care, even though, frankly, they should be providing it, right, as a major employer of these workers who are working for them and making huge profits for them, right? So it really is, I mean, it's not just a bait and switch on their campaign promises, it's a bait and switch economy where corporations and Wall Street want to take no responsibility for the rest of society, for their fellow Americans. They're not loyal to America, right? They would love to, like, outsource jobs and still make massive profits, right? And ship the jobs back, all the goods back here without providing anything. And they don't even want to pay any of their fair share back to make sure that decent, civilized society, every American has somewhere to go get health care no matter what, which is something most Americans believe. And here's their problem, not the right-wing problem, but the broader public problem. Polling shows that the number of Americans who believe that the federal government has a responsibility to guarantee everyone health care is at record highs right now, and the major shift in public opinion has been among Republican voters who make less than $70,000 a year. So a lot of their own voters are believing their promises in this election. So they are playing with political fire here by doing this.
Here is one more clip for you, Congressman Jason Chaffetz of Utah.
Americans have choices, and they've got to make a choice. And so maybe rather than getting that new iPhone that they just love and they want to go spend hundreds of dollars on that, maybe they should invest it in their own health care.
Your thoughts on that?
It's amazing, and that's been played for me by another host. I'll say this. At least Jason Chaffetz is being honest and expressing what they actually think, rather than standing up there like Paul Ryan and claiming that he's providing more affordable, accessible health care, right? That's where they actually are on this. They actually think it's your fault if you can't afford health insurance in this environment where it's so, so expensive and where medical costs in general are so, so expensive that virtually no one, unless they're very wealthy, could like pay as they went for medical services, right? Especially if they had any serious injury or illness. And so they actually believe, at least Congressman Chaffetz, you know, named what he believes, that somehow the cost of an iPhone is what is coming between people being able to afford, 12 $15,000-$18,000 a year for health insurance premiums for insurance with like a high deductible and with all sorts of other co-pays on top of that. And it's an absurd proposition, and it tells you what they actually think of the American people. They think it's their fault rather than a system problem, where it's clear that even middle-class people cannot afford health care on their own if they don't have a job that provides it. It's just that simple.
Play this out for me. What do you think is going to happen?
That's a good one. It's amazing how disciplined they are and how ideological they are, how Ryan has pushed forward, introduced this plan, right? It's being cut apart. The headlines are unbelievable. But we should never underestimate their willingness to try to ram it through. And so I saw one thing that disturbed me a little. Even a lot of people thought that McConnell in the Senate, the majority leader, would never bring it to the floor unless he could negotiate something that he had the votes for, and therefore that would be a long process. He's now saying if the House passes this, he's bringing it immediate to the floor, which actually sets up the possibility of them ramming this through. So I think there's a real possibility that they organize themselves, because they're much more hierarchical than progressives, right? They follow the leader, and that they somehow ram this through, probably by making it worse in order to please the Freedom Caucus, and then they ride through with this. It's entirely possible. It's going to be it's a huge challenge for our democracy. And so I think that with the scale of the threat to Americans across the country, this is the time for dramatic action. This is where there needs to be escalation, because there's a real chance that they're going to organize themselves well enough to actually do this.
And of course, the wild card is always Trump.
That's true, and he's backing it right now, but who knows? I mean, he can wake up any morning and tweet the opposite out and throw Paul Ryan under the bus. So that is a problem for them.
Robert Craig, Citizen Action of Wisconsin, thanks for coming on to SlysOffice.com.
SlysOffice.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.
Making stuff matters, because when we make things in America, America makes it. American workers and families make it. Our communities make it. Consider this. For every one manufacturing job in our communities, 5 more jobs are supported. Manufacturing jobs pay an average of 10 to 50% more than service sector jobs. That allows working families to support their local businesses, schools, emergency services, and more. Creating 2.5 million new manufacturing jobs would mean at least $100 billion for our economy over the next decade. Domestic manufacturing is the green economy. It's among the cleanest, most efficient, and productive in the world. That's why the United Steelworkers and our more than 1 million members and retirees are fighting so hard to protect and grow manufacturing. Because making stuff really does matter. Join our fight. Visit usw.org and like us at facebook.com/steelworkers. Support American manufacturing. Buy American. Buy Union.